Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ali. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now is live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by Adam Blompier.
Hi there.
How are you, mate?
I'm good, Luke. Really good. In fact, no issues with me because I'm going to watch Backlash 2000 later.
Oh, you're going to hear a lot of that in this upcoming episode. But yeah, I thought we'd have you on the magazine show this week because everyone is such a busy boy. Because it turns out when Pete has a week off, things get really bad around here.
Yeah, he is holding the place together, turns out.
What a linchpin. Who knew? So it's me and Adam on today's show talking about Becky Lynch and the report that she is being cast in a Marvel movie and whether or not that could lead her on to leaving WWE and going on to start a career in Hollywood. Bit of fantasy booking then around who she could play in the MCU. And then we're going to dive into your mailbag questions. We'll be back with the outro portion of this show. Here is the podcast. Did want to talk about was a news story that has sort of flown under the radar of WrestleTalk news because there's been so much other stuff to talk about. It's like I wrote this news piece for Ollie on Monday and it was just we bumped it to Tuesday and then the sitting afternoon she's like, well, we'll bump it to Wednesday. And then, you know, there was the revival stuff where they talk to Jericho's like, well, we'll bump it to Thursday. And it's just been pushback and pushback. So let's finally talk about it. So way back when, this was before she was the man, Becky Lynch was on Steve Austin's podcast and she said that she had been getting acting lessons because she did want to at some point do more acting roles. You know, she really, really enjoys that sort of thing. And more recently, because she's now become a big star for WWE, she was featured in the season 5 premiere of the Showtime show Billions, which I've never seen. Have you ever seen it?
No, but it looks charming. What's it about? I know it's about Dwayne in his suits and I believe there's billions involved. But of what?
Pancakes. Dollars?
Yeah, mice? What kind of show is it? It seems to be some sort of hustle business, yeah entourage, look at my jet ski sort of show. And yeah, she was in it and she did a swear word.
She did a swear, did she? Crikey. Well, yeah. Some people might be having a little swear at this because Chris Tapley, who's a former Variety reporter, posted up on Twitter that apparently her appearance in Billions and just sort of like in general has been grabbing the attention of Hollywood. And she is someone who is on their radar. And in brackets says she is going to star in an upcoming Marvel movie. And it wasn't like there are rumors. He said like, no, she is going to star in a Marvel movie, which is the biggest franchise on the planet.
Absolutely.
Know? So it to be as kind of like that's your, and we're not going to count the Marine Six here. That's your
I was literally Googling the Marine Six close quarters. She played Maddie Hayes. How dare you discount her work as Maddie Hayes?
She's going to star. She's now going to star in a proper movie with actual actors. And she then did some interviews to promote Billions, saying that she's been getting guidance on how to navigate Hollywood by The Rock and John Cena, who are two guys who have very successfully transitioned away from the wrestling ring into the Hollywood machine. John Cena, you know, whether you like his movies or not, he has, you know, surrounded himself with very, very funny people to make him look very funny in films as well. I really liked Cock Blockers. I thought it was a funny movie. And I think that he's a very good screen presence. He's going to be starring in the new Fast and Furious movie. He's going to be in James Gunn's Suicide Squad. He's going to be starring in the upcoming Duke Nukem adaptation. He is someone whose star, Hollywood star, is on the rise. And then you've got The Rock, who is the highest paid actor in Hollywood. Those are two very good people to get advice from when it comes to navigating those Hollywood waters.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And especially, I think, not just the Hollywood waters, but also how to sort of say goodbye to the fans in a way that they don't hate you. Because obviously when The Rock was like the biggest success story in Hollywood. You know, Hogan went away. That didn't work out so well.
Hey, now, don't you discredit Mr. Nanny.
Jesus. But he came back to a promotion that wasn't his. He went to Hollywood and then went to obviously WCW. The Rock went to do Scorpion King. And then there was a real, yeah, sour note with the fans. Obviously, Brock beat him at SummerSlam 2002. And everyone was like booing The Rock. And so he came back as Hollywood Rock, his greatest persona. And I think with Cena obviously lambasting The Rock for that and then basically being a hypocrite and going away and doing exactly the same things. Not that we're judging. I'd love to get paid millions to be in movies rather than throwing myself at the ground repeatedly for coin. But it's an interesting PR move because, I mean, compared to Rock and John Cena, Becky Lynch is a lot younger, right? I mean, at least 5 years younger. Then Cena's in his 40s now, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to do a quick Wikipedia of this while you carry on because I don't know how old Becky Lynch is.
Because like
she's not too dissimilar to me.
In a lot of
she's 33. She's a year younger than I am.
In a lot of ways, Luke, she's very dissimilar to me. I think a lot of fans. I think PR is probably more needed now than ever. Because Becky Lynch as a character is sort of in a weird place. Everyone not only expected but kind of wanted her to lose at WrestleMania. The character's gotten a little stale. And if she decides to go to Hollywood, yeah, I think they're considering that, yeah, some of her best in-ring years, one would assume, are still ahead of her. I think fans are going to feel a little bit turned out of sorts by that. Not saying that they should. They're not entitled to Lynch being a wrestler, of course, but I think it's sort of different. Like Cena's sort of come to the end of his run, so I think people were a lot more forgiving, despite the fact that he literally is doing the exact same thing he said The Rock was going to do. So I think those guys, in terms of like how to deal with the crowd, how to kind of work as a part-timer if that is the situation, I think they are incredibly invaluable. And just like, look, it's gonna hurt your fan base. Here's how you deal with that.
Yeah, totally. And we're not saying here that Becky Lynch is leaving next year or she's leaving in the next couple of years or what have you. But the facts are there that she has got a ambition to do more acting roles. And when I look at people like Batista, like so when Batista sort of initially left WWE because he wanted to, you know, just try his hand at other things, he did a movie with Rob Van Damme. I can't remember what the film was called now, but he did a film with Van Damme as a favor.
I've seen the one where it's Van Damme's movie, his precious project. And Ben, he's in it for what? How long is Batista in that movie?
He's in one scene, I believe, and he's the cover star. Poor Rob. But I remember Dave doing an interview saying that that's when he caught the acting bug. Like that was that doing that project made him go like, oh, wow, this is a lot of fun. I could do more of this. And you could say that maybe Becky would get the same thing. You know, Batista is now in the MCU, you know, and I think that they would love to get John Cena in the MCU. I could very much see Becky at some point being like, well, I'm paid X amount over here to throw myself onto the ground multiple times, you know, 312 times a year, or I can go and make these movies over here where I'm super safe. I get medical insurance, and I get paid way more to do so. Not only that, but if that is the case, when you kind of look at The Rock trajectory, The Rock stopped doing wrestling because Hollywood wouldn't let him anymore, because he did the two matches with Cena, got injured in the second one, I think, or maybe it was the first one. I think he got injured.
Second one, his pelvis, came off the bone or something horrible.
So we got injured during the second one, and that delayed the production of that Hercules movie that no one saw. Mm. And so that cost the studio a lot of money to delay that movie, which is why now The Rock can't really, like, you know, he had that, 3-second match with Eric Rowan at WrestleMania, because that's pretty much all he could really do, because Hollywood just won't let him do that in case he gets injured again and delays more movies. So, I mean, yeah, as I said, we're not saying that Becky Lynch is leaving. No one is reporting that she's leaving, but there is stuff out there that could suggest at some point she will transition into Hollywood.
These things snowball, right? Like, I think it's similar in some ways. He says, having never been in a movie or a wrestler, it's sort of momentum, right? Like, you're a hot commodity. You can't really, I'm not saying that once, you know, you go out, you're in an MCU film, then yeah, you're done. I mean, that doesn't have to be the case. Of course it doesn't. But like, we've seen how it snowballed with Cena. One film, then two films, and now he's working all the time. Rock, one big film, couple of smaller films. Now he's working all the time. Like, if your acting agent is not going to want you to go back to the ring, to a dangerous environment where you could potentially get yourself injured, put on the shelf for a while, they're going to want you get your face out there. As a good agent should. Of course, like, we're not saying that she's going, but the realities are, if she's going to be as big a deal as she deserves to be, because she's super charismatic and she's got that movie star it factor, we know that. That's why she was in the main event of WrestleMania. Then maybe it is only a matter of time.
And she's very, and I'm going to try and put this as politely as I can, she's very striking. Like, the way that, like, she has got a presence about her. She's very striking to look at, which is something that Hollywood really likes. You know, they like people. And so I think that is really going to work into her favor as well. Only being 33 is also going to help that. But this is what she said in the interviews regarding The Rock. She said, "The Rock actually has been very helpful and put me in contact with who my agent is right now. He's been very giving. I think they all are, because they've all been there. They've been there and they already are looking out for the next generation." And when talking about how Cena's helped her, she said, "Cena has been so great to me and so generous with his time and advice. He checks up on me and what I'm doing right now. I think everyone wants to see the next generation move to where they've been." So, like, she herself is saying, this is the move I'm looking to make, and these people over here are helping me make that move.
Yeah, I'm trying to emulate these people.
Yeah.
And
they're not bad people to emulate.
No, I think they're doing fine. Soon she'll have her own tequila company. Like, I wonder how much The Rock is making off that, because you know that George Clooney makes more money from his tequila than he does from his movies.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he makes more money from those Kenko adverts than he does his movies.
I mean, he made a bloody load of money in Nespresso, but I can't imagine, like, for how much The Rock is pimping it on, like, Instagram or wherever. I guess, like, should we talk about the MCU?
Well, yeah, so if she's being cast in a Marvel project, I mean, you and I are big, big comic book heads. Mm-hmm. And so I thought this would be a really fun thing for us to speculate. If it's a Marvel project, and I'm extending this out into Marvel project, so it's not, doesn't have to be just one of the movies that has been announced or could be announced, but also the TV realm as well. Mm. Because, so the first thing I did was I googled red-headed comic book characters, and once you get through Mary Jane, you find yourself in actual X-Men territory.
I love how you went redhead rather than Irish, because because, you know, I mean, yeah, you can always dye your hair, but I think, because what I did exactly the same thing, right? I thought, what are Becky Lynch's two main qualities? Because, you know, every agent looks at you like, what do you bring? You know, what is it that you know, is it size? Is it profile? Is it do you have an amazing accent? And I think, yeah, her two main qualities are redhead, obviously, and Irish. So I actually did pretty much the same thing that you did, but I googled Irish Marvel characters.
I mean, the way I look at the MCU is that they are often, they will take a character and be like, let's just take this character in name alone and put them over here. They are broadly like the character you've read in the comic books, but it's our version of this character. So I was just kind of reading this being like, I mean, they could be an Irish, she could be an Irish version of Rogue. She doesn't have to be, you know, from the Deep South. She could just be the Irish version of Rogue instead.
So have you ever heard, because I'm going to be completely honest, my X-Men comics is not something I know inside out. Like, I read a lot of Chris Claremont stuff. So, you know, Days of Future Past, the Dark Phoenix saga, like I've read those, but I haven't read a lot of like the newer stuff. But I was googling this. You ever heard of a X-Man called Siren?
No, not sure if I have.
The daughter of Banshee.
My X-Men knowledge is not also that great either. Oh, the daughter of Banshee. Okay, cool.
Not only are they Irish, but they're also, hang on, let me just, I will put it in the chat just to give you a little idea of exactly how perfect I think Becky Lynch would be to play Siren. Now, does this or does this not look like a certain last kicker?
Oh, well, look at that. Absolutely. Of course it is.
Yeah. So that is, yeah, she's, Banshee's daughter, Cassidy, Sean Cassidy is Banshee, of course he is. So yeah, she has a tragic backstory. Her mother was killed by an IRA bomb, and then she was raised so sort of like by Banshee and the X-Men, and then she was in X-Force and X-Factor. X-Force, of course, have made an appearance sort of in Marvel movies. Not their greatest outing, but.
And, you know, we're all dealing with the X Factor. I got everything I ever wanted, and I'll never get that back.
God damn you, Uncle Cracker. But yeah, like, so I was looking at that. There is a character called Shamrock, who that's less good.
Yeah, that was her first NXT gimmick, wasn't it?
Diddly, 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 dee, diddly, diddly, dee. Yeah. Let me just grab up an image of Shamrock. So Shamrock is an Irish superhero with the power of luck. So not dissimilar to Domino from Daredevil. But that's a lot more, when you think of an Irish superhero, that's a lot more on the nose. Little Shamrock on the chest there. Look at that hair. My goodness. So that's what I found. But one other, but I think you're probably going to name her when you're talking about your X-Men.
Well, I was going to say, because like when I first thought of the X-Men, I was thinking there's kind of sort of two benefits to that. A, you're getting her into a big name project that you have already, like, so Kevin Feige at Comic-Con last year effectively did announce that they're doing X-Men and Fantastic Four. Like, they didn't officially announce it, but he said, we're out of time. I didn't even get to talk about the X-Men and the Fantastic Four. So they are going to happen. So when I was thinking about the X-Men, the benefits of that is A, you're getting her into a big, big name project. B, there are a lot of iconic characters that she can play in there. But C, perhaps crucially, you can hide her. Like, you can sort of hide any weaknesses that she might have, and you're not putting her center stage where she could fail. Instead, you're doing like what you almost did with Batista, which is you just sort of like, yeah, you hide him in the back because he can stand so still. He's practically invisible. And you can just accentuate on the positives. And I think that works really, really well for Dave in Guardians of the Galaxy. So you could do that with the X-Men, which is why Rogue came to mind, which is why, who is the other one I wrote down? Mystique. Is another one.
There it is.
Well, because Mystique has got the red hair in there. Also, she can just transform into other people and have other actors step forward to do bits and bobs for her.
It's borderline shade, Luke.
Look, I'm not saying it's shade.
If Becky's doing terribly, we'll just have Mystique transform into Helen Mirren or someone with a bit more grammar. But obviously, yes, there's the hair. I think she, like, it depends, because Mystique is also kind of with Jennifer Lawrence, with her kind of obviously rocketing to be a big star during the course of the Fox X-Men movies. Mystique was sort of pushed front and center, especially in like the last two films. So less so
the last one, where she was, you know, killed off within the first, spoilers for that movie, but I don't think anyone saw it anyway, so it's fine.
No, but like still a kind of a big deal. So it may be harder to hide, but then again, I think that Becky Lynch is a good performer and probably doesn't need to hide as much as Luke does. So that's just that's where we differ when it comes to the first woman to win the first ever women's main event of WrestleMania. I think she's a talented performer, and Luke would kind of like to throw a drape over her and like cover her up from the unforgiving cameras.
Well, I'm not quite saying that. Of course I'm not. But also, she might be rubbish, and therefore you can hide her.
Have you not seen the Marine Six? Maddie Hayes.
Yeah, no, my point was more like, she then is a big name actor. It's the same like with, you know, Jennifer Lawrence. Jennifer Lawrence, even when she is being played by different people, you know, the Mystique character is being played by other different people, you still go like, oh yeah, that's the Jennifer Lawrence character. So it's a smart little way of kind of like promoting her and also getting other people to do any heavy lifting should there need to be. But I think she could probably do it anyway. But if you really wanted to push her front and center, and I'm sort of hesitant to suggest this one of doing Jean Grey again because of the ginger connection, the redhead connection. But the only reason I'm hesitant to suggest Jean Grey is because as soon as you put Jean Grey into something, the first question people are going to be is like, what are you doing Dark Phoenix? And we've already done it twice, and it's gone nipples north twice. I don't think we need to have a third attempt at this in quite quick succession.
No, and I think MCU have been very canny with how they've introduced characters that other people have seen before. So like Spider-Man Homecoming, really, really good. Just do Spider-Man. We don't need an origin story. Just do a Spider-Man film. It's fine. We know who Spider-Man is. And so I think in that way, like if they're introducing X-Men, like, yeah, we've seen most of these X-Men before. And like Marvel are actually quite canny about recognizing that. So maybe they are going to go to maybe, for example, they might do something like X-Force or X-Factor first, just to kind of like get everyone in, and then you can introduce a Wolverine in like the post credits of that, you know, just get us on board with some other characters that we don't know quite as much, who haven't been quite as iconic elsewhere, build up this brand knowledge, and then hit us with some of the heavy hitters, like, you know, Professor X, a couple of movies down the line when we're actually clamoring for it, you know, something like that. So maybe in that sense, someone like Siren would be a really good call.
My other two pitches were to put her into the Disney Plus Marvel side of things in the TV show realm. And the two that came to mind were Squirrel Girl.
The most powerful character in the MCU.
You beat up Thanos on her own. And, you know, that's a really fun role for someone to dive into. I'd be absolutely gutted that it's not Anna Kendrick, but still, because I do think she is the perfect casting for Squirrel Girl. The other one is She-Hulk.
Because, oh, that's interesting.
You know, they've announced they're doing a She-Hulk TV series. So she would get the leading role in that. It's a TV thing, which is less pressure. And she gets to show off her awesome strength and sort of awesome physique. And, you know, that would be a really cool way to then transition her into the big screen.
Yeah, absolutely. Give her, you know, test her out so that she's not terrible.
Well, I mean, let's not put all of our eggs into this Becky Lynch basket. You don't want to, like, hang an entire movie on her and then it's bad.
We love Becky Lynch so much.
I know.
How has this happened?
The other one I was going to suggest as well, like, to although this is more of a Sony thing because they are doing the Spider-Man characters, and it kind of moves her away from the redhead, but also moves her away from the Irish thing, is to make her Black Cat and sort of cast her in that role, because then she can just be a big name side character in a Spider-Man movie, and that's a really cool, that's a cool deal.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously with what they did with MJ, yeah, I don't think any character is like, just go with the person who looks the most like them. You can do some really creative casting. One of the assets of the MCU is that in its later phases, it's really kind of pushed it with the casting and with who we're making the films as well. Yeah, I Black Cat would be great, actually. She'd be really, really good.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So let's dive into your Patreon mailbag questions. If you want to submit a Patreon mailbag question, all you've got to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers on Patreon at any dollar amount and leave your question in the community tab labeled mailbag. Do not email me. I will just lose them. I'm very bad at my job. This first question comes in from Jam That James Dillon. Jam That Jam, Adam.
Jam That Jam.
Says, do you think the cancellation of WWE 2K21 will speed up efforts for AEW to get their game out by Christmas?
I mean, it's an unprecedented window. This is the first year we haven't had a new wrestling game in 15 years.
Yeah, it's 97 was the sort of first year, like, time we were getting yearly wrestling games from WWE.
So over 20 years. Lord. it's an unprecedented window to have no major competition. It's a push-pull, right? If it comes out and it's good, the whole market's yours. If it comes out and it's bad, then you've sunk your first AEW game.
Yeah.
So, I don't know which side I would go on. What about you?
I think it's because even if AEW did get their game out, the AEW audience is a lot smaller than the WWE audience. You know, they don't have the 2 million people tuning into their show every week. They have got a quarter of that, maybe a third of that, let's say. They've got a third of that audience. So that's a third of the video game audience as well, one would suspect. The only other side of that is that if there is a clamoring for a new wrestling game that captures that casual market that just want to play a wrestling game, they pick this up, they find out about the characters, they go and tune into the TV show. That would be sort of like the real benefits here.
I found out about WCW via the game. which is weird. Interesting. Yeah, because I knew about WWF. I played WrestleMania 2000. And then I found out what other wrestling games are there. I want to play a different one. And I found about WCW versus NWO World Tour. And I was just like, who are these characters? Who is this man with the face paint? Ooh, this Eric Bischoff seems like a cool ninja character. And I generally did play as Eric Bischoff quite a lot, which it's fated. But I was like, oh, Eric Bischoff must be one of those like super cool, like very good characters. Excellent wrestler, lots of kicks. So I think it's absolutely, there are lots of people who just want, who want to play a new wrestling game. If it gets good reviews, like if it's something that, you know, GameSpot puts a lot of eyes on, then yeah, there's a huge opportunity to build your fan base.
It really is. Or it could be a case of like the Impact game, which was quite good, but absolutely no one played it.
Oh, really? That's a shame.
Yeah. It looks amazing as well. RLT Sandwich says, hey, everyone. After many months of deliberation, I have finally decided to properly support WrestleTalk on Patreon. So here is my first official mailbag question. Well, Welcome, RLT Sandwich. Thank you very much. What's your favorite match that you've seen live? Mine was sitting ringside for Johnny Gargano versus Adam Cole, baby, from NXT TakeOver 25. Stay safe.
That's a really, really good one. I haven't been to crazy amounts of live wrestling. I have been fortunate enough to go to two WrestleManias. They were 32 and 33. 33 was good. 32 less so. But I think for me, because I also managed to go to SummerSlam 2016, so I got to see John Cena versus AJ Styles.
Ooh.
Which was mental good. Loved it. And I also saw, I've seen a couple of takeovers as well. So I think I saw the triple threat tag match with DIY, The Revival, and AOP. That was really, really good. But in terms of just like, because I just wanted AJ to win so much, because I'm like, don't drop the ball on him. Don't drop the ball on him. It's his first SummerSlam, and he beat Cena clean. Made me. I was so happy.
I'm quite taken aback by that, Adam, that you said you've not seen a great amount of live wrestling. When I can present you four letters, WCP and W, I think you've seen quite a lot of live wrestling.
You know what I mean. No, we did some good matches.
I've sort of answered this question a few times in the sort of podcast thing. I was very lucky enough to be at Revolution Pro when they did Tomohiro Ishii versus Keith Lee for the first time, and that is the greatest wrestling match I've ever seen live. It is. Wow. It was. Ollie perfectly described it as it was a tank versus a fridge, and the fridge did a moonsault, and it was wicked. Such a good match. Isaiah Kinnard says, hey Luke and Adam, hope everything is going well with WrestleTalk today. Being someone who is black and a wrestling fan, I tend to think black wrestlers are severely underrated in WWE. AEW and other indie promotions, however, celebrate black wrestlers and are normally some of the top guys. My question is, however, who are your top three favorite black champions in WWE? Mine have to be Keith Lee, Mark Henry, and Kofi Kingston. Love you guys. Bye. P.S. The first time I saw Keith was at an indie show a few years ago, and I fell in love with indie wrestling.
Kofi was definitely one of the greatest moments of WrestleMania time. I think his championship run, one you go round and round on that, but in terms of being coronated, it's one of my favorite coronations regardless of skin color. So Kofi's definitely on my list. I think Keith Lee's one of my favorite people in general. It just so happens to have a championship belt under him. The Rock, I know some view that with controversy, but I think he's one of the greatest performers in the history of the business. He's absolutely wonderful. So those are my three. Yeah.
I completely agree. Mark Henry, not for his World's Strongest Man 1998 run, which I don't think was particularly great, any of the runs that happened after that, with the exception of the Hall of Pain run, which was awesome. That was so, so great. It's one of my favorite runs of any champion of it's over the last 10, 15 years. I just thought it was so, so awesome. So I think I would put him up there simply for that alone. Love me some Kofi. Love Xavier Woods and Big E as well. Like, you know, I just think New Day as a collective are just, they're so good together. We get a lot of people messaging us being like, when would you book the Big E heel turn? And my answer is always, never. Like, I never want to see this team break up. And I just think that they're so good together. The only reason I'd want to see them split up is if they decided we want to go our separate ways as a, you know, as a friendship thing of just being like, we've done everything we can as a team. Let's see what we can all do individually, but never actually, you know, hating each other.
It would be such a beautiful, such a genuinely like beautifully earnest message about friendship. Is like, I know we are in the most cutthroat, betrayal ridden industry in the world, and yet somehow this friendship has survived. I have no desire to see the New Day triple threat unless they are all baby faces, I guess. But even then, like, they're just too dice.
Irakli with a lovely short and sweet question. What's worse, the chairs match or a stairs match?
Stairs.
And the chairs matches are very bad, but yeah, that stairs match was, that was something, that was a new level of rubbish.
There's a reason why they've only done one. yeah, no, awful. I don't know. With the right creativity, you could make probably enough spots to make a stairs match halfway decent. It just doesn't make any sense. They're always there. Everyone gets bounded into them every single match, even if they are, you know, it's a normal match. It's not a DQ to get thrown into the steel steps, so who cares? It's not extreme.
But they were reinforced with, I don't know, carbonite or something. Matt's Netic Field asked, hello, Luke, Ollie, and the WrestleTalk crew. First of all, I've raised my pledge to $25 a month due to your awesome content as of late. Well, thank you so, so much.
Thank you.
And I thank you for it, brackets, spend it wisely. Yep, hookers and cocaine. Nearly got there. Anyway, my question is, why do you think WWE chose arguably their biggest babyface ever in John Cena to be the first to fail their Money in the Bank cash-in? And why did they get it through a DQ? Surely it would have made more sense for a big-time heel getting their comeuppance. Very odd.
It was a weird moment. It happened on Raw 1000, didn't it? So I don't, it's so tricky, right? Because John Cena is someone, like, if you think of superstars who need Money in the Bank less than anyone else on the roster, it would be John Cena and probably Roman Reigns, right? These guys have the cred, the way, and just the booking now, so they can literally just show up. As we saw before WrestleMania, they can literally show up and say, I'm next, and everyone will go, yeah, no, fair enough, that makes sense. Main event, sure. So obviously, like, he didn't need it, and so they, yeah, I guess they just sort of, I wish it hadn't been a DQ. I obviously would always hope that, and there's so many times I hope that Punk would have just won clean during his heel run, rather than, yeah, the Big Show getting involved. It was deflating, but then I guess that was the point, because they were burying, they just didn't want to do Money in the Bank, I guess. Or they wanted to, well, they were using Money in the Bank to sell Raw 1000. That was the whole purpose of Money in the Bank that year, sell Raw 1000. There's going to be the cash in then. And then also, actually, we don't want Cena to be the champion. We want to further the whole Rock shtick. So we'll just get rid of it. But we also don't want Punk to win, because he's a heel champion and all heel champions are terrible at wrestling. So blitzing it on a DQ and then burying it with The Rock arriving is the only way to do it. It's quite cynical, but, you know, because they could have just announced Cena versus Punk for Raw 1000. Could have just done it. Don't think anyone would care.
Yeah, I mean, I always figured it was because people expected him to win. And so they just swerved fans' expectations. You know, as soon as they put the belt, as soon as they put the Money in the Bank on Cena, everyone was like, oh, God. So Cena's winning the title again then. And they were like, actually, no, he didn't win it. Huh, don't you look like an idiot now for second guessing us? Because WWE love to do that. I hate their fans. So I figured it was just a way for them to swerve us. That was always my take on it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a fairly good swerve, yeah. I guess. Because I don't, like, yeah, it's cheap. It's a bit deflating. But also, people didn't want to see Cena beat Punk. So I nope. guess we get what we want. I guess.
Yeah. Tom Delves says, hello, Ollie, Luke, Laurie, Pete, Andy, and everyone's favorite Plumpy. I can't help but think that keeping Roman completely off TV, not mentioning him or showing him at all, including WWE.com and Twitter, etc., is all just in place to get him over. Once it was apparent that he'd be away for a while, I think they decided to lean into it. I think he'll be held off TV for even longer than needed. Almost hope that people forget, out of sight, out of mind. Then when he eventually does return, surely he'll be over, right? I'm thinking Royal Rumble 2022, maybe. Reminiscent of Sting not appearing for over a year. Much love from New Zealand.
Oh, wow. 2022. Yeah. I mean, obviously, the world's not getting... It's not getting back to normal anytime soon. There will be a new normal. So, yeah, obviously, take care of yourself, Roman. That is the number one priority, of course. So it's the question is, like, why erase him? Like, literally, the effort was made to edit out a perfectly good bit of footage. Yeah. That is what has got everyone scratching their head. And everyone's sort of, leaning towards Heat, even though WWE have been so explicit with it, you don't have to come to work. But then again, it's WWE, and they get awful petty about awful things. I don't know. I would prefer our wonderful patron's opinion, which is that they literally just, like, no mention until suddenly because they'd have no timeline for him coming back. So just completely no mention it until suddenly he's back, and then it's all the bigger. I don't know if necessarily that's aided by editing him out of a random clip from Money in the Bank. I don't think who did Seth beat? I can't remember. Oh, I'm on tenterhooks for what's coming next. It's not like that. People notice, like, and maybe it is a sort of it would display self-awareness of a type which would be genuinely, like, mind-blowingly impressive if WWE think the best way to get Roman Reigns over in his absence is if we convince everyone that we're mad at him. Yeah. So that puts Roman versus WWE, and you're always going to side with Roman on that. That is psychological branding of a sort that it's fiendish if it's actually what they're doing. But I don't know. I don't know. Why would they do it?
Well, so Ollie came up with a really good theory on this, which I'm kind of in line with, is that if they mention his name on TV, or, like, Sonny suggested, like, you know, you don't have to bring him in for TV, but you can do calls with him. You can have him appear on the show and, like, cut promos or just talk about. And I was saying, you could really lean into this idea that he is keeping his distance because of his second bout of leukemia. It puts him at a higher risk. He's looking after his family, this, that, and the other. He's got twins on the way. Really lean into that sort of family man thing, which WWE really like. But Ollie made a very excellent point. By doing that, you have to address the fact that there is a global pandemic on, which they are not doing. They are sort of just saying, these are bizarre times, but we're carrying on. Mm. And as soon as you say there is a global pandemic on, it just starts to raise questions in the viewer's mind of, like, well, why are these people here? Why are all these people still doing this wrestling show then? Because yes. I've said this on a couple of shows, but, you know, the amount of friends who have texted me saying, man, I mean, what are you doing for work at the moment? Because clearly there's no wrestling on. And I have to reply to them being like, well, actually, there's always loads of it. And I know every other sport has stopped, but wrestling is still going on as if nothing has really happened. So I think, you just almost, as soon as you start to address that sort of notion on TV, you are going to just start raising more questions than answers. So by keeping him off TV, you can just completely ignore that. I don't think there's heat on him personally.
No, me neither. But, like, again, it's so curious, because I get not holding an interview with him. Absolutely. How are you doing, you know, in lockdown? NXT just do it. They just pipe over to Adam Cole sitting in his greenhouse. And like people, yeah, we know. Like everyone knows why. It's not an issue. But then again, Adam Cole is coming into work in like 2 weeks' time. So yeah, you get to see him. It's just like there's such a difference between not mentioning him and editing him out of a video, because that way everyone's talking about Roman Reigns now. Like if you just left the clip as it was, we wouldn't be talking about Roman.
Yeah.
Like I just don't get the, because they're better at marketing than this. Like, yeah, they've do some weird stuff, but their PR department's fairly on it with regards to if you do a purposeful thing, everyone's going to notice. See, yeah, I just don't know what the game plan is.
Ryan Sanderson asks, hey guys, hope you're doing well. Following Dustin Rhodes' performance in the TNT tournament, I started thinking if a possible AEW world title run is in the future for him. He would probably have it for a month or two, but the chase for the title and Dustin finally winning it on a major in a major title and a major promotion, I think it would be a great babyface story and moment.
Absolutely. I don't think personally that he'll win the title, but I think title versus career kind of writes itself. I think if Cody ever gets the belt, retiring his brother, title versus career, I think is sort of the dream way of saying goodbye to Dustin Runnels.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, because it's a very, you know, Southern traditional promotion. It has a lot of kind of mainstream kookiness, but it's very kind of Southern Gothic. And the tradition says that Dustin shouldn't really be getting a championship reign over the incredible talent that they've got. But the, you know, the narrative is right there. They've already played with it couple of weird times in the TNT tournament, which is Dustin just suddenly randomly announcing this is a retirement match now. Why?
Yeah,
because it is.
No,
I don't know.
It's very Vince Russo of them.
Yeah, it's just like that's a big card in your back pocket. Do not overplay that. And I think when the time comes, if he's going to retire, going for the title, I think would be the best way of doing it, probably.
They've got a follow-up question, which is there anyone in AEW you would consider a dark horse future champion?
Darby Allin, I think.
Darby was my first thought as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Rockstar Dougal says, Luke, have you played Streets of Rage 4 yet? There are many baddies who walk around with their hands in their pockets like Orange Cassidy, but don't look so cool. I have not played Streets of Rage 4 yet, but that is because, like, Laurie and I talked about this. God, when did we talk about this? I think it was in a Patreon video that we did for someone. My PS4 has just become my Netflix machine. Like, it gets booted up so that we can watch Netflix and we can watch Amazon Prime and things like that. And I actually haven't used it to play a game in a long, long time. I bought Resident Evil 2, the remake, on day one of release. I have played it for cumulatively about 2 hours across 3 different campaigns. Because I will start it, play it a little bit, leave it for 6 months, come back to it, forgot where I've been and what I'm doing, and then I have to restart the game again. And I've done that on 3 separate occasions. I never have time to play games. You know, I haven't played Doom Eternal yet. I haven't played the Final Fantasy VII Remake yet. I haven't played anything. I got the Star Wars game for Christmas. I've done the tutorial, thought the game was fine, haven't touched it since.
Luke, like, literally most people have is time.
I know.
Right now. As
you're well aware, I didn't do the AEW reviews today because I just did not have time.
You didn't have time, no. Do you remember way back when, you know, back when the lockdown first started, we had our first meeting, you know, video conference call, and Ollie was kind of ashen-faced being like, there's going to be no more news soon. I was like,
yeah.
How about that? Turns out there's more news than ever because wrestling's super morbid and fascinating right now. Yeah.
Dylan from Cork, I'll try and do this. Dear Do It More. I'm sorry. It was a little Irish intro. He says, little Irish intro for the air, guys, to change it up. Don't feel under pressure to try and pronounce it. I failed there. So, my wife's mother's half of the family is Welsh, and they are native Welsh speakers. Well, they're fluent in Welsh. So I tried to learn some Welsh for the wedding so I could do part of my speech in Welsh, even if it was just a couple of sentences. And I tried, and I could not do it. I enlisted the help of various different people on Twitter to help me and coach me, and I just could not do it. I don't have the tongue for other languages, I'm afraid.
No, same. I tried to learn a few GCSE and just completely out of my brain. No.
I've had a few Facebook memories pop up recently over some pretty funny wrestling rumors I shared on my timeline that never came to be. Do you guys have any favorite wrestling rumors that never happened? A personal favorite of mine was around 2014 when word was going round that Vince McMahon wanted to buy Premier League club Newcastle United. It would have been fascinating to see Vince try to acquire the likes of Wayne Rooney, Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo over to Tyneside, and how long it would have taken him to get bored of it.
Ah, that's a really good one. I mean this must be actually weirdly hard for you guys because you deal in nothing but wrestling rumor. Yeah. Like we just like being told, oh, just tell a joke. I can't think of one. There are so many. I'm finding it very difficult. Is any that like spring to your mind?
I remember being like convinced that Paul Heyman was going to go to TNA. Like I was convinced that, and you know, that rumor has effectively been proven true because they did, you know, they've all said that those talks did happen, but I was like convinced he was going and he was going to turn that ship around and he was going to be the guy that was going to steerhead them, like, you know, steer them into this war with WWE, which ended up being done by Bischoff and Hogan instead. Two great success.
I think my favorite, I guess it's not really a rumor. I think it was, but obviously big fan of Inside the Ropes. They're grand. And I was lucky enough to be in the audience for when they did an interview with Paul Heyman. And Paul Heyman, master salesman that he is, he's literally never not selling something. He was asked about the match at WrestleMania 30 between Brock and Undertaker, and he put forward, he says, let's just say that my client, Brock Lesnar, was being told he had to lose this match. And let's just say that my client, Brock Lesnar, didn't feel like lowering his value in the... So basically, yeah, he spun this incredibly compelling narrative that Brock Lesnar shot on The Undertaker in WrestleMania 30 and broke the streak by force, which obviously is, it's snake oil selling. But I remember that being so much fun. And it did get a little bit of traction in some places. But it was really, really fun to just see him just spin that web live. It was really great.
And he spins it so well. It's a wonderful little web that he weaves. It's a brilliant watch. I actually did a video on it. Me and Ollie did a video with Kenny a couple of years later, where we sort of like sat Kenny down and he sort of talked about the, you know, I didn't know he was going to go out there and say it and all this sort of stuff. And we had clips from it. It was a really, really fun video to make, actually. Brock Lesnar shoot on The Undertaker? Jobber JJ, hello Swaff Nation and Wrestle Talk's wonderful, incredible crew. Money in the Bank is this Sunday and WWE so far is advertising Braun versus Bray, not The Fiend. Now, this may just happen, so I have a fantasy booking theory. Listening to Chopper Pete and Flat Cap Andy, the story is Bray wants Braun to let him in. So Braun comes out, cuts a promo letting him in. Play the Firefly Funhouse, and Bray cuts a promo, and out comes The Fiend, squashes Braun, and wins, leading to Extreme Rules, so we can get an extreme cinematic Firefly Funhouse match. Have a soup safer week.
Interesting. Firefly Funhouse it's tricky, isn't it? Because, like, you want to see another one, but you also don't want to see another one, because right now, they're 100% good. I do think, and also it's this is so tricky, right? Because I would not personally have booked Bray Wyatt to go anywhere near the championship, like, for a very long time, because he doesn't need it. What does the fiend wants to kind of rebuild WWE and like tear it down and like destroy all its heroes, and I guess that's going to get into championship contention at some point, but just having a belt, it doesn't seem like the Fiend's MO. So part of me, I don't know, part of me wants, you know, all like I like the idea of the feud because they've got history, but part of me just wishes it was non-title so the Fiend could win, but also Braun could keep going, because I would quite like to see Braun have a decent run. I know people are very down on Braun right now, but I think like you might as well lean into it and give it a try. Yeah. It's a really hard situation to book yourself out of, because yeah, it feels like too soon for another Firefly Funhouse. I don't know where they're going with it. I am excited to see, because I think Bray is easily one of the best wrestling minds of the generation. So if he's got input, I predict, yeah, it could go somewhere really fun. I don't know. I definitely think, yeah, Braun's going to destroy Bray and think, I've done it. Easy.
Yeah, that's then, what I think too.
Yeah. Forgetting about his little... penis, obviously, as in the prediction video. Have you seen the prediction video?
Oh, I saw it. Okay. Drew Porter says, hey,
I don't want to besmirch Bray Wyatt's penis. I'm sure he has a lovely penis. I don't know where I'm. Talk, Luke. Talk.
I'll carry on. Drew Porter says, hey guys, first time I've done a mailbag for I think months. I hope everything is well with you and your family. Now, my question is, who are your top three wrestlers of all time? Other than Raven, Luke. My top three are Sting when he was in TNA, Jeff Hardy, loved every gimmick he's ever done, even Willow, and Chris Jericho, Mr. Y2J himself, best storyteller and best wrestler I've ever seen in the squared circle. Yours sincerely, Drew. Hope you're all fine and well. Hope we get out of this pandemic soon. It's my birthday on the 5th of May. Well, happy belated birthday to you, Drew.
Happy birthday.
So yeah, if I can't pick Raven, well, I mean, who else is there to pick? It's Rock, Angle, and Austin, I guess. I think maybe Austin. Jericho's really good as well, but I think like it was the guys that got me really into wrestling. And like my year of wrestling was 2000. That was that was my year. It was when I really got heavily into it. We got Sunday Night Heat in the UK. We got a handful of pay-per-views. We got, you know, the Rumble for free on Channel 4.
I know.
Backlash a couple of months later with Austin's return to help the Rock beat Triple H. Good. It was just, with the exception of WrestleMania 2000, it was banger after banger after banger. So I think in that year, for me, it was Rock, Angle, and Foley, even though Foley was only there for a handful of months of it, but then became commissioner and was also great in that role. So yeah, those are the three I'm going with.
Of all time, Angle, obviously, I would say Angle, Daniel Bryan, and Kane. I love Kane because yeah, like I think I've gone into it in a couple of places, but it's the silliness of the character. It's how many different iterations of the character there have been. It's the fact that Kane is just apparently a lovely man, like a smart, lovely, generous, kind soul. Also, he was Curly Kane, and that's amazing. Yeah, just such a crazy continuity. You could say that of The Undertaker too, but I actually prefer, I think as a body of work, maybe Kane.
Yeah, because you don't get the awkward American badass era of Kane. Because that era of Kane is Vest Kane, which I would argue is Best Kane. It's when he looked like a badass. He looked enormous during that period of time.
He did look swole with the big arms. Yeah, he was a monster. Just that battle, Royal Rumble 2001. What a turn. What a testament to how many stars they had at that time, that wasn't the star-making turn of the year. It's insane.
Yeah. The only downside to that is that was also a period of time when they were having, because they were doing the Brothers of Destruction, he had to cut promos alongside the Undertaker or do backstage segments while still wearing the mask. It's like, Sarah's outside and DDP is after her.
But he was also in the best promo that WWE had ever done, which is him holding the fake Stephanie above his head at the top of the stairs.
CJ Warren, it says, it's my first mailbag question. Happy to be part of the community. Happy to have you, CJ. My question is, if Golden Joe were real, what WWE star would be his biggest rival?
I mean, Golden Joe is real. That's the issue. Yeah. Who would be his biggest rival? I think In WWE, is that the... Because I think having Joe Hendry would be a pretty good one. Just like the Spider-Man meme of them just pointing to each other. I think because he's The Miz.
Yeah, do you know what? That was the first person that jumped into my head as well. But it's because he's such a complex character, it is Golden Joe. The man who always thinks he should be winning, but is also the babyface. It's hard to find who his biggest rival would be. I mean, obviously, other than potentially Silver Bro, but who knows?
We're not talking about that potential caller.
No, absolutely not. Peter Mullins, I was telling my mates that they edited the best cash in to make Roman disappear, which is ridiculous. What caused the argument was my wording, best cash in, not the Roman stuff. Edge and Ziggler's names got thrown around. Please alienate half your audience and definitively settle the debate. Best cash in. Go
Ziggler.
Yeah,
well, like I just and
Edge's first one. I'm gonna go with Edge's first one.
I'm gonna say Ziggler just because that's the only one that had me dancing in my kitchen, because around 2013, like, yeah, he was over, man. People really wanted Ziggler. Like, they thought, yeah, he has been kept down for far too long. Like, people really, really dug it, and he held the briefcase for so long. Like, like the longest someone's ever held it.
Is it? I mean, Edge held it for
Edge. You know, oh, because he won it. He won it at WrestleMania, of course, and he almost took it to the next WrestleMania. No, he took it. Yeah, he held it for such a long time. Like, that briefcase was battered. Like, so many failed cash-ins. Everyone was tired of Alberto Del Rio at the time. It was just like a perfect storm. You know, the crowd, that amazing international crowd the night after WrestleMania. It had been a terrible WrestleMania, so everyone had been like, oh, we really want something great. It was just pitch perfect. Because you also thought, not only was it like really exciting, but you could never tell with how they treated Ziggler. Yeah. They could have had him lose. And there was that beautiful tension. Like, very few times do you ever watch a wrestling match being like, I have no idea which way this is going to go. And that pure adrenaline, Ziggler's is the best cash in for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, Edge is the one that always springs to my mind outside of Ziggler's, that first cash that he had at New Year's Revolution, because it was the first one and we really didn't know what to expect. And it, like, to be honest, even I remember at the time not even considering the idea that someone could cash in after someone has had a match. Mm. I always thought it was going to be, you just announce, I am having this match on this date. I thought that would be how the match would, you know, how it would happen. So it really caught everyone off guard, and I absolutely loved that. But Seth's at WrestleMania 31 is great. And I'm also going to throw in there Rob Van Dam's, just because I know it was a pre-announced thing, but I was such, like, that 2000 year I referenced earlier, that was also when I fell hard into ECW, because a friend of mine had a load of ECW tapes.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, we were watching a lot of ECW, like, going back and sort of, like, through 98, 99, and 97, watching all those ECW pay-per-views. And Rob Van Dam was my guy. And, yeah, so him winning the WWE Championship was a pretty special moment. Callum says, hey guys, I'm finally back. I've got a financial situation back together again and enough. So there's my question. So here's my question. As everyone is in self-isolation lockdown, I would like to know what wrestling pay-per-view TV show and film would you watch while you're in total lockdown? Mine would be ROH Supercard of Honor 12, TV show Lost because it's the greatest TV show ever, and film A Quiet Place because it's great. So basically you get to pick one pay-per-view, one TV show, and one film.
Ooh. All right. I assuming this would be like a pay-per-view I've seen before. I've seen X7 so many times.
Yeah, which is why I was instantly leaning towards Backlash 2000s.
Such a good show.
Yeah. Plus you get a big show coming out as Hulk Hogan.
Well, you know something, Kurt Angle, do you? Oh, it's so many good, like, just unexpectedly good matches as well. Like, the Edge and Christian are absolutely braining X-Pac with the ring bell. Like, destroy the guy. Dean Malenko versus Scotty Too Hotty. I can literally recount this. I've seen this pay-per-view so many times. I can literally recount the card from memory. Amazing. Eddie Guerrero versus S.A. Rios. Yep. That's a really, really good one, actually.
And it's maybe one that you, and it's one that's not been overwatched either, I don't feel like.
No, absolutely. Oh, it's tricky. Because it's one show that you get to watch. I'm going to say Money in the Bank 2011.
Yeah. Great shout.
Because I actually haven't watched that in a long time. And I remember as well, that's one of the things where actually it's an entirely good card. Like there is a bad, I don't think there's a bad match on it. Like the Christian match, like so overlooked because it's overshadowed by the main event, but that's the one where he wins the title, right?
Yeah.
Hoofs Randy in the bollocks.
Yeah, that's it.
Awesome. Oh.
Yeah, TV show. I mean, my first thought would be to pick, you know, my favorite TV show of all time is The Twilight Zone, is to pick that.
Oh.
But I think if it's something that I'm going to want to go back to again and again and again while in isolation, it's probably going to be something like The Simpsons. Because even if, you know, seasons 11 through to 30, whatever we're on now, are not great, those first 10 seasons are perfect. And you could just pick a random episode each day and it would just be a brilliant episode.
I'm like watching them all in order.
Almost guaranteed it's going to be a great episode.
I'm watching them in order and it's what I cook to. So basically, I just put my laptop off to one side and I've just been burning through. I'm on like season 4 now. I just watched Camp Krusty and just like, oh my God, this is so good. Just this tiny little cutaway to Mr. Black and the three bullies. And they're simply sitting at a long table and he just goes, gentlemen, too evil. I just find myself bursting out laughing whilst I'm cooking. It's great. I would actually, because I am sort of doing that, feels like a cheat, I'm gonna steal yours. Go through the Twilight Zone. What a great idea. Because I've not seen that much of it. Like I've seen bits and pieces, but it's one of the big projects I've always wanted to do. Either go through all of the X-Files or go through all of the Twilight Zone. And I actually think just because of the range of stories that they tell, and the quality as well of the not only the writing but the filmmaking, Twilight Zone would be, what a brilliant show.
It's such a good show, really, really great. And film, it's the greatest film of all time. It's a film I can watch every single day and never get bored of. It's Ghostbusters. It's the greatest. And if I'm not picking that, I'm picking Back to the Future. I just think they're two absolutely perfect movies and they're the ones that I'm never ever going to get bored of watching.
Shawshank Redemption for me. I've seen it
an actual choice.
Well, that's the thing. It's one of those things where, how many films can you name where you could just watch it over and over again? Shawshank Redemption, I could put it on any day of the week. And I might not watch the whole thing, but it would probably make me cry. That film, because I know everything that's coming now, literally almost most scenes make me cry. it's perfect filmmaking. I love it.
Have you ever cried at a movie so the only reason I was going to ask this question is because I watched, my wife and I watched Inside Out, the Pixar movie, and I cried as the movie was starting, and my wife turned to me, it's like, why are you crying? I was like, I just know something bad is going to happen to this child, and now I'm a bit worried.
Paddington 2. Paddington 2 had me, I cried during that film like 8 times. Just like, I teared up when he put the sandwich in his mouth and he said, marmalade. And it's just like generally, it's one of my top favorite films of all time. It just always hits me like right in the heart. I don't know how they've done it. There's this strange alchemy of filmmaking where it just, the choice of music, the actors, the wonderful kind of set pieces and lines and everything just coming back together, and just the purity of that bear. He's like Luke Owen the bear, and it's so delightful. Those two films.
I got so mad recently. We're watching Great British Menu and the theme for this year is children's literature, and someone made a marmalade sandwich as their dessert and sort of presented, you know, it's inspired by Paddington Bear, and it was a marmalade sandwich with no orange or marmalade, and it was made with blackberries, and I got so mad because I'm like, why are you presenting this?
It's like having, okay, we're gonna do a famous feast from Asterix, but with no boar. Like, what's the point? Do something else.
Right, moving on. Austin Tusty. Hey, guys. What are some cool spots you fantasy booked for Money in the Bank matches? Do you want some goofy spots or should it all be serious? One I thought that would be funny is where they're teasing the throw off the building. AJ could throw someone over the side and not show the fall, so we assume they fell down the building. Then the dramatic irony when AJ turns his back to the ledge and Ron Simmons is hanging off the side of the building as a window washer and caught whoever gets tossed and repels them back up. And Cor says, damn, I know it's a bit cartoony, but I think something wacky like that could be fun.
I think you've actually you've nailed it, really. Like, I think you want a whole bunch of wacky spots and then one serious spot. I don't know if throwing someone off the roof is your serious spot. I think it's too silly. I would like I said in my predictions, I want Otis to go off the building because I think there's actual emotion there, tragedy, because he has someone who cares about him, whereas no one cares about anyone in the WWE universe. They're all just backstabbing each other. Obviously everyone's really likes the idea that AJ Styles is going to die on every pay-per-view this year until lockdown lifts. They're just gonna Kenny McCormick him and just he just dies every time and comes back being
I'm all right, me.
That would be really funny.
Yeah,
he's got God on his side, you see.
I haven't heard an idea better than the one we were sort of pitching yesterday, or someone pitched yesterday on Quizzlemania, which is that Baron Corbin gets into an elevator, thinks that he's super smart, presses the top button, and then someone, preferably someone like Otis, just runs in, rubs down all the buttons, and runs out. But to continue that on is that Baron Corbin doesn't get out of the elevator. He doesn't have the smarts to just get out and walk or something. So you just keep cutting back to him, just as the bing, just opening it, just hammering the button to try and get it to close again.
That would be really, really, really good. Because someone should do something in Vince's office.
Yeah.
100%. I think or Daniel Bryan doing something in Triple H's office, just to a little kind of bit of continuity. You know, he just rubs his butt on his desk or something. Yeah. That seems like Daniel Bryan's style, right? Because so much of the history of that company is sort of centered around that building. I would love to see some proper Easter eggs from the famous advert, the WWF Attitude one. Get it? I want to see, actually an explosion. Someone being thrown through the glass, Undertaker walking down the corridor. That would really make my day.
I was going to say, I think me and Ollie talked about this, that I want it not to be an empty building. I want there to be people just going about their day-to-day work and, and then the wrestlers are just wrestling around them. I don't want it to be an empty building. Richard Jacques says, hey guys, will you be watching the Undertaker Last Rides documentary on the network? And if so, would some sort of breakdown or discussion video be made about it?
I'm definitely going to watch it. I don't know if I'm going to be watching it soon because there's such limited amount of time and so much wrestling because of course it is after the pay-per-view, but definitely, yeah, I do want to see it. I think he is, in terms of the stories of someone's career, is there anyone more interesting than, The Undertaker? Except maybe Vince.
Abnahab says, after seeing that Roman backed out of WrestleMania due to his health, this thought always comes to me. What do you think would have happened if Roman had won the Royal Rumble? I think the exact same thing would have happened. He would have just pulled out and they'd have put Braun in his place.
Wrestling isn't that important, and nor should it be. People understand, it's fine.
Flaming Live, our last question of the day, says, what do you think is the most underrated pay-per-view of all time? I'm going to say the Invasion pay-per-view, only because of how the story arc turned out.
That's actually, the pay-per-view itself is astonishing. And yeah, it doesn't have any of the big names, but it's still a big deal. There's a reason why it's the highest drawing B pay-per-view of all time.
Yeah. And it's a bit bobbins.
Yeah, it's got a ref fight in it. Which actually, now that I think about it, did that over-deliver? I can't remember.
Oh, no, 100%. I will say, the pay-per-view is so bobbins that referee match is one of the best matches of the night. It's because it's at least fun. It's way better than Raven versus William Regal, which is an awful match. It's
can't remember that. That's insane. Yeah.
There are actually a lot of really bad matches on that show. And it's really, for me, it's all about the Jeff Hardy RVD match, that ref fight, and the main event. And the problem with the main event is that it's kind of missing a bit of star power on the Alliance side.
Yeah, like I think it's always going to be the big what if in wrestling. In terms of like something that is actually great and doesn't get as much respect as it deserves, yeah, I think we've cracked it. I think it's Backlash 2000. It's so much better than WrestleMania 2000 that it's unbelievable. So much so that you almost think, was this always the plan for WrestleMania, but Austin just wasn't there? Like he wasn't along in his recovery. We need that, you know, just keep it spinning for an extra month. Backlash 2000. Like I'm going to watch that today, Luke. Thank you.
I was just about to say, because I've got quite a bit of editing. I've got 4 podcasts I need to edit once we've done this, and I'm gonna have Backlash 2000 on in the background while I'm doing that.
Hell yeah.
Found doing Quizlemania on a weekly basis.
it's fun. That's the thing about it. It's some work, and I've had like offers from like Andy and stuff to kind of help with the work. But it's like because so much of it is like I've got to know each of the questions inside and out. I just sort of prefer to get it all done. It's a lot of stuff, especially when I have to kind of like Photoshop stuff, and also like finding out all the dates and making sure it's not too easy, not too hard, and try and cater for the guests that we're going to have, like, because do I want Sean to completely destroy the wrestle team? No, so I better do not something with a bit less trivia based.
It's
a lot of fun, and that's kind of the big consolation. Also, like, it does give me, as we saw with Quizlemania 6, it gives me a chance to kind of flex certain muscles which I not had to, like, like obviously like hosting a streaming service sort of thing is a lot of fun, but also like I edited a little video for Luke for this week.
It was so good.
Oh, I'm glad you liked it, bud. But that's the thing, is like I get to do some stuff, and that is what I really, really enjoy about it. And also getting some our great guests on, and it's fun. It's a fun gig. I am gonna try and pull it, because it's starting to get over 3 hours now. I am trying to pull that back. I'm touched that it's gotten popular enough to the point where we get super chats enough to take us to that point, but I am gonna try and rein it, because I don't want it to get too big, because I do like sleep.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I nearly, so my phone died in the night, which means I didn't get up until 8 a.m. this morning, which is very unlike me for a weekday.
Goodness.
So I sort of panically rushed out of the bedroom to get into the office, being like, has Ollie sent me news to write about?
it's fun. And like, I find myself doing it in my time off as well. Like, on a Sunday when we're having like a lazy day, we'll be maybe the TV on in the background, but I'll just sit in my computer and just do some Quizlemania stuff, just because I really like it when it goes well. It's a fun show. I'm glad, like, it's just people are really enjoying it. So it's a genuine pleasure to do, but there's always a fair bit of work for it, but there should be if it's going to be good, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got this email in from Jaron Walker that I'd like to read out. It says, hey guys, I just wanted to show my appreciation for the inspiration you've given me recently. Today I'm writing this email, which was on May 5th. I'm excited to say that I've just hit 10,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Hey.
One of the things that has helped me stay consistent was the WrestleTalk channel. It's weird to think that people care enough about wrestling to subscribe in mass amounts to one specific channel. And with WrestleTalk being the YWC juggernaut that it is, it's kept me focused and determined to stay active. Thank you, WrestleTalk. The little things you guys do make a big impact on several people in multiple ways. Much love, Jaron Walker. Well, thank you very much, Jaron. It's been a long time viewer and a long time emailer as Jaron. We've seen him through a lot of times. We even got him together with a lady.
Nice.
Way back in the day, he messaged about a girl that he saw I believe it was in a school canteen, it was at a canteen or something, and he was he talked about like their first talk and things like that, and he showed them Wrestle Talk. And yeah, it's been a long, long journey with Jaren. It's been a great time as well.
Oh, that's really nice.
And there's an email I wanted to read here. This is from Dan, talking of sort of long-time viewers to this channel, long-time fans. It's from Dan, who says, Callum and I, Callum Newman, have just got done recording a podcast interview together. And because it's Callum, he deserves it. I want to get as many eyes on it as possible. Do you think the podcast on the May 9th, which will be, you know, this one. Hey, oh, it's his birthday on May 9th. Hey, happy birthday, Dan.
Hey.
And we got Lucy Openshaw to do the announcement that WrestleTalk could do a retweet or mention of it somewhere, since the podcast I did has guests on from WXW, for example, their head trainer. They actually listen to the podcast. We hope they take notice of Callum. Best wishes, Dan. Well, Dan, everyone should go and check out Dan's podcast. It's going to be dropping on Friday, then I believe, or Friday, also the 9th, which is in a couple of days' time. We're recording this, so it's on Saturday. So keep an eye out for that. Follow him on the old Twitter machine. We'll try and do some retweets for it as well. So definitely keep an eye out for that, because Callum's great, Dan's great, and Lucy's awesome as well. And before we get out of here, I can't not have you on here without talking about No Rolls Barred
and
Piston Fairmont and the rivalry with Alexi Tetris in the one shot that we did. And also, I mean, I don't know how much we're allowed to talk about what might be coming next.
Oh, that's fine. I don't mind talking about it at all. It's going to be cowboys. It's going to be amazing. So yeah, we have a patron for No Rolls Barred, patreon.com/No Rolls Barred. Part of the, you know, because we like to kind of give our patrons some level of control over the story. Like, for example, they get to pick a major character for season 2, which has happened, and they are booked into season 2. Some of our higher giving patrons get to be kind of shouted out during the episodes themselves. And one of the polls we just put up was, where's the next one shot going to be set? And there were six choices. There was Ancient Rome, there was Caveman Times, there was Pirates, there was Victorian England, there was the Wild West, and there was one more, which I can't remember. Fantasy, just general fantasy, like D&D.
Yeah.
It was touch and go between two. It was very almost Victorian England, but no, Wild West is where we're going. Wild West, Jim West. Desperado, Rough Rider. No, you don't want.
I'm so excited that it's the Wild West.
I know it's going to be brilliant.
I'm basically just going to watch Back to the Future 3 as well to get my inspiration.
Yeah. It's going to... Oh. That, I'm going to watch some Westworld. I'm going to watch just a few Clint Eastwood movies, I think. Just really just dive back in, because I love Westerns so much.
And you will be able to hear that at the end of May on the No Rolls Barred podcast, which is part of our WrestleTalk podcast network. We've got a whole bunch of them now. Not only are you enjoying this podcast, Quizlemania is available as a podcast. No Rolls Barred is available as a podcast. So go and subscribe to those. Give them a little rating review. And coming soon, Louis Dangor's WrestleTalk interviews will be available as a podcast as well. We're super excited to be launching this and getting a lot of stuff in your ear holes. But thank you all so much for listening and hanging out with us on this wonderful bank holiday Friday. We'll see you again soon. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.